My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Turn on the radio. Kick it! Friday afternoon, and that can mean only one thing.
Yeah, baby.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You're humorous, both of you.
Today, the guys are taking the show on the road to Twin Peaks Buckhead. So stop by, grab a hey man, and join in the party.
You having a party?
Yeah.
Dukes and Bell turn Twin Peaks into a sports town hall and kick off your weekend right. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dukes and Bell.
Come on, it's a Friday in paradise. We're hanging out here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Got a good nice crowd at the bar. Anybody working? Anybody got their laptop? No, I like that. What are you doing? What's that about? Come on. Are you working? He's really working? All right. Gonna get that guy a shot. I mean, this is Friday, for crying out loud. Tell him you got a sales call in like Dalton or something. They're not gonna know where you are. Anyway, we're hanging out at Twin Peaks. Join the party, man. Ice cold brew, great food. We're gonna be here till 7 o'clock. Chris is in for Carl on vacay. I know a lot of folks, some folks getting away today with the 4th of July next week, and although some folks just take next Friday off. Well, either way, hope you guys have a nice summer plan, because we are in the heat of summer.
Did you see the airport numbers? Millions.
Mike. Believe it.
Millions this weekend. Unbelievable. Unprecedented. Ooh. Lines. And I was listening to the steakhouse earlier today, and Rusty Manziel checked in with Steak and Sandra live from the airport. And let's just say Rusty wishes he was anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, man. I mean, I live on the south side, so I got it easy. It takes me like 15 minutes to get to the airport. And then once you're there, you know, parking. That's the thing. It's like an impossibility. I know it's the improvements, but man, that thing is moving at a glacial pace.
And then you got to do that. It's like the lap of hell where you got to circle all the way around to get there. Right. Oh, my goodness.
I've done that so many times. And the new cell phone lot, it's not a terrible inconvenience, but it's not as easy as the old one. Because the old one, you could watch the planes land. It was kind of neat. And I'll be in there because usually I'll pick up Becky after a trip. I got the dog with me. And then I'll be doing the lap, trying to time it.
Yeah.
And she's like, my bag still hasn't come out. And as soon as you clear... I got my bag. And then
you got to go all the way back around. Because those cops and those security guards, they move you. If you're sitting still, they're not
and then
having
it. It's tough because you got people, for some folks, it's the one time they go to the airport all year, and you're really somebody, you got to move that car. You know, it's like, it just doesn't like, let's just ratchet up that tension a little bit more. Hey, real quick, before we get to our NFL blitz, you watched the debate last night?
Yeah, I did. I did, Mike.
We always stay in our lane. We are a sports talk radio show. But because the presidential debate for the most powerful job in the entire world degenerated into who's got a better golf game, we can discuss it briefly here on the program.
We can. Yeah. It was incredible.
I'm a 6 handicap. I won the club championship twice.
And the best line
was... Who's going to let him win his own championship?
The best line of the entire night, I thought, was when President Biden gave his handicap, and then ex-President Trump goes right after. He goes, that's the biggest lie you've told all night. That was the funniest part
of the
whole thing.
I'm talking about... I got a text message from my cousins in Ireland, and I can't tell you what they said, but basically what is going on is...
Yeah.
Great answer. Great question. I have no answers for you.
Mike and I were talking about this on the way here. We were like, what if you're sitting in another country country right now, and you're just tuning in to watch this. Must think it's satire.
Somebody living on the border with Russia right now, just freaking out. Anyway, that's it. No, we're staying in our lane. But speaking of the lane, I know that traffic was a concern for a lot of folks trying to get downtown last night. But from what I heard, it wasn't as bad, because once they finally did clear, one went north, one went south, and then eventually the interstate got back to normal.
The one thing they did right yesterday after that whole situation.
You ain't lying. This hour of the show here, guys, brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Hey, man, let's talk about the football with an O-O in the NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, bud, it's brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Let's focus on the NFC East. We're going to see those guys this year.
Yep.
We get the Eagles, the second game of the season, in Philly.
Oop. Yeah.
That's a test, right? We get the Steelers, Eagles, Chiefs, Saints to start the season.
And everyone keeps saying we have, like, the easiest schedule in the NFL. Maybe in the middle chunk and on the back end, but to start the season, that's going to be about as big a test as any team faces in the NFL. If you go 2-2 in the first four games, I think you got to call that a win.
I'm with you. I'm sticking with that. 500 when you consider that. We don't know what the Steelers are going to be with Russell Wilson. I guess if you're Pittsburgh, you could say, hey, the Falcons could have an unbelievable offense with Kirk Cousins. But as you brought up yesterday, you got to get the quarterback protected from T.J. Watt and from Cameron Hayward coming the other side. So always a concern. Start with the Giants. Brian Daboll, he had a big falling out with Wink Martindale as D.C. That thing got public and blew up in the locker room.
Yep.
Amongst the players. You had the owner basically say in the offseason he's got to dial it down a little bit. And you got a quarterback that nobody in that city wants. Enjoy. And you lost Saquon Barkley.
Well, right. It's not exactly a recipe for success. And then you have other teams in the division, and you look at the Cowboys. They're a perennial playoff team. They don't do anything in the playoffs, but they make it every year. The Eagles made the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And then the Commanders, Mike, got a guy named Jaden Daniels who's going to be slinging the rock. So they're going to be a giant wild card. I don't exactly know what the future holds for the Giants because, again, they're going to most likely after this year get rid of Daniel Jones and start fresh at the quarterback position. But you would think if they don't make a playoff berth this year, GM and head coach could be on the chopping block.
Because just 2 years ago, the future was so bright. Remember, they upset Kirk Cousins and the Vikings in Minnesota. Daniel Jones, they literally, that defense made him look like Patrick Mahomes in that game.
Yeah.
But, the Giants are just, to me, it's a huge question mark. Not sure what they're going to be. I don't, only Daniel Jones could perhaps fire it up and get back to that. Remember the first year? It looked like he was going to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
And he's done nothing but go backwards ever since.
And get very injured.
We're
talking like near career-ending neck injuries, ACL. I mean, this guy has been through the ringer. Part of it is because they couldn't protect him, but part of it is he's a quarterback, much like what Desmond Ridder had to do last year, who had to run around a lot because he was going to get squashed.
Giants, by the way, going back to some throwbacks this year, we'll talk a little haberdashery.
Mm.
We talked about this about a month ago for the guys who didn't see it. They're not like a cobbled-together uniform. It's apparently what the Giants wore in the late 20s and early 30s.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks said you should probably left it in the Great Depression because they are some really ugly jerseys. Now, maybe somebody will see them in person. Maybe they'll win some people over. The Steelers have those old-school striped jerseys that they wear from back in the day.
Like the honeybee jersey, yeah.
But, those Giants ones are ugh. Now, one of the uniforms I think a lot of fans will certainly get nostalgic for, Philly is coming back with the Kelly Green twice this year.
Mm.
They're going to wear it Week 9 against Jacksonville and then Week 17 against the Cowboys. So that would be the Reggie White, Jerome Brown, Chris Carter back in the old days with Randall Cunningham, Kelly Green.
Yeah, with the big eagle on the helmet and on the sides of the shoulder pads. It is, as the kids say, Mike Bell, clean.
Yes, and I like those. I think the Falcons have got one of the nicest with the white pants and we wear the black jersey and the red lid. But that Eagles is old school. Eagles stopped wearing those Kelly Green uniforms, according to Pro Football Talk, back in 96.
Mm.
By the way, speaking of green, we have the Friday night game in Brazil, right?
Yeah.
And neither the Packers nor the Eagles can wear their colors because of gang affiliations in Brazil, if I read it correctly.
Apparently, this is such a thing that, like you just said, they're not even allowed to wear the jerseys because of what could be perceived as threatening situations, Mike Bell.
But, I mean, so what, a gang of guys going to try to crash the party and get in the football stadium?
Hey, man, I think as long as you're a citizen, you can buy a ticket. So I guess that's what they're fearing.
Right.
And we don't know the geopolitical affiliation of how relevant that is in day-to-day life out there, but apparently relevant enough that they're doing this, right?
No, apparently. Now, again, we were trying to make some sense of this. There's an article, and this is from USA Today, and this came out. It says, no, NFL didn't say Packers-Eagles couldn't wear green in Brazil. Fact check. A June 6th thread talks about them saying the NFL is telling Packers and Eagles they're not allowed to wear the color green in Brazil for the opener due to gangs. That's what we just referred to.
Right.
Post was liked by more than 800 times in a week. The USA Today folks fact-checking says false. The claim is false. According to a league spokesperson, a rivalry between two Brazilian soccer clubs means green is customarily banned at the stadium, but that will not apply to the Eagles and the Packers.
So it was all a fugazi the entire time.
Correct.
Oh, come on.
So, so it has something to do with, I guess, if you're wearing green, it's, if you're that soccer team, that's going to be a thing. I don't know. But apparently, we're going to be in our regular, those guys in the regular duds.
Yeah, because I read that original article that you're talking about, and it was mentioning things about how it could be perceived as a threatening situation. Well, I guess not.
Corinthians plays there in Sao Paulo, and Palmeiras is the rival, and they wear green. But none of that applies to Green Bay in Philadelphia, where fans of both Packers and Eagles will be wearing green. Now, if you're a fan wearing green, if somebody from Corinthians wants to beat the snot out of you, I can't speak to that.
Right.
Place I've ever had a gun pointed at my chest was in Rio de Janeiro. I've told that story a few times. Sao Paulo was fun, but getting to that track, because we went to the Interlagos, which is, this means between two lakes, where we went to see, I got to, you know, see the Brazilian Grand Prix.
Right.
Man, you want to talk about population density? Holy moly. I mean, just getting in there is like a sardine in the car, just crawling along, inching along. Yeah, just crazy, man. Hey, we're live at Twin Peaks, guys. Give me some NFL blitz here on Dukes and Bell. You know, speaking of colors, last time I was in L.A., I was wearing a Georgia Bulldog hat. This is like 10 years ago. And we're in a bar, and the bouncer's like, I got to take the hat off.
Really?
Do I look like a blood?
Really?
You can look it up. Look at hats you can't wear in L.A.
Wow.
Google it right now while I'm talking. Google hats you can't wear in Los Angeles. This happened to me twice. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
You know what's funny? It's the first thing that pops up when I put it in the search bar.
There you go. I've worn it a few times. You've seen it on Twitter. I've got an old Brooklyn Dodgers hat. You know, my dad was Brooklyn Dodgers. So it's blue, you know, looks like a Boston B. And we were going into Hennessy's in Hermosa Beach. So my buddy Munson, and a bouncer goes, hey, man, come on in. He goes, got to take the hat off. I'm like, well, you guys are wearing hats. Yeah, but, you know. Like, what? No, I don't. So I'm a Crip now.
Yeah, Mike Bell throwing up the signs, so, man.
But anyway, as we said, it's all that nonsense you heard about Brazil is just that. It is nonsense. The Eagles and Packers.
Yeah, they're saying Cardinals, Red Sox, Tar Heels. You want to stay away from Marlins with the old school teal.
See this?
Yeah, you're right.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Yeah, and I haven't been to Los Angeles to hang out in 10 years. So, yeah, I thought that was some goofy stuff. Some more NFL blitz for you. Rob Gronkowski says Gerard Mayo, when he was a player, there were kind of indications that this guy was going to be a coach, man. He said Gerard was just a phenomenon on the football field, lining everybody up, knew everything that had to happen with a play to work. When guys were out of position, he knew where every player needed to be. In the meeting rooms, he would sometimes correct the offensive coordinators.
Oh.
So apparently this guy was detail-oriented, which makes him the perfect fit for the head coach.
Yeah, it sounds like he has his ducks in a row there, which I think, Mike, some people were questioning Belichick about his last couple of years with some of the coordinator decisions and some of the quarterback moves that they made. So it seems like he's getting the ship righted to what the New England Patriots standard has been.
But doesn't seem like anybody's jacked up about their quarterback, does it?
No, but the problem is this is what the Hawks just had to deal with. They had to take the best of what was available to them, and they thought that it was this guy, Drake May.
I still don't get it.
I
think Penix, when he finally gets on the field, is going to be 10 times the player Drake May is. It's, even though they're different coaches, different offenses at Carolina, the same argument was applied to both. Well, they're the prototypical what? Name the big game, the big moment, the big throw. Please.
Yeah.
Never saw it. I still don't buy it.
Jamarcus Russell was the prototypical, and look what happened.
With Al Davis with his dying breath. Jamarcus Russell is a great NFL quarterback. Hey, man, one note from Jacksonville. Shad Khan with a funny mustache says that, they got to win more. You think? You just got a $1.4 billion stadium deal done in the city of Jacksonville. It was unacceptable not to be able to win two of the last six games, it still stings. Even though season's over, I still can't believe we couldn't do it. What are they going to be this year?
Yeah, that's the thing, and you just paid Sunshine all his loot too, so they better be rip-roaring and ready to go. But this is actually something we talked about, I think it was yesterday. Their division's pretty good. I mean, that's not going to be a cakewalk
Texans
at all.
Texans are real. We talked yesterday about the Colts stepping up. Nashville and up in Tennessee. Nah. Hey, guys, we're up here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. It's Dukes and Bell with our man Chris. Yesterday, we had a great conversation at the end of the show with Lauren Williams. I want to give you guys a chance to hear it. She covers the Hawks every day. We'll look at all the different scenarios. And what are we going to be doing now that we're into like the go make this team better phase? Lauren from the AJC next on Dukes and Bell.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
And a woman who covers this team. And generally, she does her job. Well, they're not doing theirs. It's Lauren Williams from the AJC. She joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So, Lauren, any big mystery, or you thought it was Reese Hoshea all along?
I don't know if I would say it was a mystery. I think towards the end, you could kind of see the writing on the wall that it was him. It was going to be Zachary Reese Hoshea and maybe some of those other guys that were thrown in the mix. Not necessarily Sarr, but, you know, your Donovan Clingans and your Reed Shepherds were kind of the smoke screens a little bit to maybe throw people off the scent. But, I mean, when you go back to the fact that they went to France really shortly after they won the pick, I mean, maybe that was the writing on the wall to tell us that Reese Hoshea was the guy that they were going to go with.
What do you think the expectation level could be for him in year one? I mean, we've seen what he can do with the ball. We've seen that he can shoot. But how easily do you think that translates to the NBA?
Well, I think it helps when you have some veteran guards in both, you know, Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. Obviously, we're still waiting to see whether it's going to be both of them, one or then one or the other, whoever it is that's going to end up being there. But I think he's in a really, really good spot. spot, especially when he can play off a guy like Jalen Johnson. I think that might help, especially because of his natural ability to get out in transition, his ability to cut to the basket, and we know that Jalen can pass the ball as well. So I think he has several guys around him that can help build him up. But I don't think the expectation is that, you know, he's going to be this ultimate scorer right out of the gate. I think they're going to have some things that they need to figure out. But I think the way that he kind of earns his minutes, like any rookie, is to play defense. And we know that in the past, Quinn Snyder has been hesitant to play rookies and you know, have them be out there so young. But with him being the first overall pick, there is going to be that expectation. So I definitely expect that he should be in the rotation, at least have some consistent minutes, just because, you know, for a guy to be making, what, $12 million plus in his rookie year to spend time in the G League, he's got to be out there. He's got to be developing, especially a player on the wing. And the faster they can get him out there and get him acclimated to the speed of the NBA, the better.
It is Lauren Williams, guys, covers the Hawks for the AJC with us here this hour of the show, by the way, brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. The Sarr thing, we banged on that drum all day yesterday and the day before, Lauren, because I just thought maybe, you know, we need size, we need athleticism, we need a rim protector, and maybe we'll try to address that in free agency. Maybe we still move off Capella. Do you think the Sarr thing was ever close, or you think that once he and his group decided to not work out that was done?
Yeah, you know, I think in the 5 years of covering the draft that I have, it's one of those things where I kind of have to believe that he might have worked out with the Wizards prior to the Hawks and got some promises from the Wizards and assurances about how things would go and kind of like those under-the-table agreements, so to speak.
Right.
And once that was in place, that's when he kind of said, you know what, I'm happy with the situation that I might get in Washington, so I'm just going to decline the opportunity to work out with these teams. But, you know, you also hear some of the rumblings about him not necessarily being a fan of, you know, the city from his time at OTE. I personally have not heard that from him. We know he, you know, tried to debate it or denounce it or what's the word I'm trying to think of, deny it, that he didn't have any qualms about coming to Atlanta. But you have to kind of say maybe that played a role, especially because he's a guy that didn't necessarily spend a ton of time in the United States. So how would he know, you know, a bunch about a certain city except for Atlanta, which we know is one of the few places that he has some experience with. We know his brother is out in Oklahoma City. His, you know, he plays for the G League team out there. And so he has a little bit of familiarity, but not that much. So how much different would you expect Washington to be than Atlanta? But I think by the time you see how things lined up on draft night with Wizards trading Denny Avdia to Portland, it kind of, the writing's on the wall. Again, I'm bringing up writing on the wall, but it's kind of there. It tells you that some of those, as I said, but under the table assurances, you know, they played out the way that they needed to so that they could sign their guy or draft their guy.
Lauren, Hawks wheeling and dealing today, making a couple of moves, sending away AJ Griffin, making some trades. They ultimately decide on Nikola Jurušić, 6'7", 210 from Serbia. He is a shooting guard. What do you think they see in him? What could he potentially bring?
I mean, I'm looking at it as, you know, more offense. I think that this team we saw had some trouble with consistent shooting, and it seems that they're trying to, you know, bolster that part of this team's offensive game. They did need some more consistent shooters. We saw that Bogey kind of struggled toward the end of the season, whether he was getting heavy legs from the extra minutes that he had to play with all of the injuries. You know, we saw DeJounte Murray kind of step up, and he was probably one of their more consistent shooters. Other than that, you saw that this team would have nights where they just couldn't seem to hit the bottom of the net. And so I think if they can find as many options as possible, we'll see. The other thing, though, that I'm hearing, and I believe it was either Adrian Wojnarowski or Bob Myers on ESPN mentioning something about them drafting and stashing him over in Europe. And I'm hearing that's something that they're still considering. They're not totally, you know, sure. I think they're going to go through the whole process of the mini camps before summer league, seeing how things play out at summer league and how he stacks up against other NBA players before they make that decision. But We'll see how that plays out because he might not necessarily be on the roster come training camp in October.
Lauren Williams with us, guys. If you're just tuning in, of course, you know about Risa Shea, and we're just talking about the 14th pick in this round, which turns out to be a dude that from Serbia looks like a guy that is gone. Now, again,
another Nikola.
My question with Chris, we were talking about this earlier, I really thought A.J. Griffin had a shot. I just wonder that A.J. Griffin, I know there was some off-the-court stuff. You and I talked about this in the last conversation. Mm-hmm. It just seems like it fit the bill, shooting, the Duke pedigree, and now you wonder where. Hopefully, he gets traction in Houston.
Yeah, you're going to have to hope. I think the thing is, it's that it was clear that he was having a hard time cracking the rotation, and now especially with Risa Shea in the mix, it's hard for you to see where those minutes will come from, particularly because they're developing Mo Gay into a player who can be one of those bigger wings. Obviously, we know he can play minutes at the center, but I think this team sort of envisions him as that knockdown shooter on the wing that can guard some of those bigger forwards. You got Kobe Bufkin continuing to develop. Who knows what's going to happen with Seth Lundy once his injury, he's healed from that injury. We know he's not playing in summer league, so maybe the Hawks have some plans for him there. We still have no idea what's going to happen with free agency yet. We're still kind of pulling out the pieces on that. So I just think that the path to him getting playing time next season just ultimately just got harder with some of the moves that have been made so far. So it's better to allow a guy as young as AJ is. He's only turning 21 in September, just before training camp begins. So, like you said, you hope that he kind of catches on, and I think maybe Houston might be the right fit. He's got a lot of veterans around him who can maybe build him up and help pull him out of, you know, the mental struggles that maybe he was dealing with in Atlanta, and maybe he'll find a way there.
Lauren, when it comes to the timeline of the trade DeJounte decision, what are you hearing in terms of if the Hawks feel like this is something they need to do expeditiously?
You know, they're keeping their hearts really close to their chest. I'm still trying to figure, I think like all of us, we're still trying to figure out what it is that they're doing. I think, you know, they're going to see how the market kind of stacks up, especially with free agency coming up in a couple of weeks or a couple of days rather. And so I think the summer is where it's going to be hot. They're going to be in Vegas soon talking to a lot of other GMs in person. And I think that's where you might see a little bit more of that negotiation happening.
It is Lauren Williams, guys, from the AJC. I know that we've talked so much about the luxury tax and our owner's aversion to getting in there. I mean, yes, technically you could spend your way out of it, but they're not going to do that. So the exception we talked about with the John Collins trade, do you feel that will be utilized? I mean, it expires, what, July 7th, I believe.
Yeah, they're running out of time, and so maybe that's something that they factor into one of those deals to move one of those guys. Of course, moving one of those guys opens up another trade exception that they're going to have a whole year to use, but I really do think they're still going to be looking kind of at what the market. We know that they have a guy like Donovan Mitchell who's still negotiating with Cleveland. We know Darius Garland is still negotiating with Cleveland, and I think there are a lot of free agents that are going to be coming up on the market that maybe might be a little bit cheaper than the two backcourt guys that they have right now who make up, what, $63 million between the two of them. So I think they're really on the phone negotiating right now. We saw, I believe it was Bobby Marks who talked about DeJounte having the better trade value just because he has a team-friendlier contract, and that might entice more people to pick up the phone and kind of check the pulse there and see what the Hawks are looking to get back. But it's just still hard for me to see a world where they might be able to get draft picks back for DeJounte Murray, even though he does have such a good contract. I mean, if they do get draft picks back, as we saw with what Denver was able to get from Charlotte for Reggie Jackson just a little bit ago, those three unprotected second-round picks, I think that maybe is something that we could see from there, but it's still hard for me to see them getting multiple first-round picks back for DeJounte.
Lauren, when it comes to Trae Young, have you been able to gather anything, rumors or otherwise, about how he feels about this new timeline with the pick of number one at Reese Shea? They could have traded the pick for other picks. They could have traded the picks for a player. Do you feel like he's comfortable for the next several years growing with this new nucleus?
You know, I'm not sure about the next several years, but I think he understands that it would be unwise to rush things too much. I could anticipate that maybe he would give it at least, you know, one more year, especially working with Quinn Snyder to see how things unfold. I think he wants to see how free agency pans out. If he's the guy that's moved, then obviously he doesn't have to worry about the timeline in Atlanta, but if DeJounte is the guy that they move on from, who are they getting back in return? And maybe by the trade deadline, we see that his decision becomes a little bit more clear if he wants to stay here or if he subtly asks out. So it's hard for me to see Trae Young being a guy that asks out just based on kind of what we've learned about him over these last six or so years. You know, he's very grateful to the organization, and so obviously he knows that he has only so long, especially since he's talked so strongly about winning, but I definitely think he would want to try and see how things are at least for one more year if he can.
Again, in a world where the owner gets in the luxury tax, I had us signing Klay Thompson as a splash uncle and going to get Hartenstein from the Knicks so we have some size in the front court. But none of that's going to happen, so don't even answer that question, Lauren. But, hey, we always appreciate your insight. Next week, hopefully we're talking about some money moves and trying to improve this roster and get out of this rut. Because Lauren deserves to recover a better team. She's so good at her job.
Damn right.
Thank you.
Fresh from Barclays.
That is our good buddy Lauren Williams of the AJC right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, we got some interesting stuff coming up.
Yeah, man, the Phillies have been living a charmed life, and they finally get it with the injury bug big time. You know, you heard about Real Muto early, but this is a big one. We'll tell you about the issue which maybe gets the Braves back in the mix at the NL East. And Aura's got Yeah Man, No Man next. We're live at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Always love when the server asks, do you want that as a single or a double? I think you know the answer to that question. It is Duke Sabel live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Carl on vacay. Chris Thomas is filling in. We're going to talk to Oren with Yeah Man, No Man in just a sec. This hour of the program brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Phillies have been red hot, hottest team in baseball. But Chris, a little kink in the chain, I guess. Well, tell me about these injuries.
Yeah, a couple of big boppers going on the 10-day IL. Kyle Schwarber, who replace Marcelo Zuna as number two on the DH for the
All-Star voting. Yeah, well, he's been killing it. He's been doing what he does, a lot of leadoff home runs. But Schwarber's banged up, and Bryce Harper.
And Bryce Harper with a hammy. He had to exit last night's game. So apparently both of the injuries not considered long-term, but at least for the next handful of games, Braves need to take advantage.
I know a hammy, though. So there's different grades, of course. Michael Harris had one of the more serious grades, but sometimes they can turn into more than 10 days. So maybe a chance for the Braves, who are eight games back, to make some hay. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk with Danny Vietti. Oh! From CBS Sports MLB. Grant later on the Braves. And just a weird game in Chicago where Chris Sale gets 11 strikeouts, but they come up with nothing against the worst team in MLB. Right now, let's get the best in the business. Big O with some Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
New. Chris is co-hosting today, wearing a Dale Murphy throwback today.
That you so preciously purchased for me.
Thank you. Well, no, we're at Murphy's. I've got one of those, too. That's one of my favorite Braves uniforms. Great stuff. Along with the Hank Aaron 74. Right now, though, Big O back at the ranch. He's in charge of Yeah Man, No Man. What you got?
Just sitting here a little bit jealous, guys, of all the cold beer and nice, greasy fried food you guys are eating right now.
And not to, you know, sound like Bill Belichick. So, you want to go on a date? But no, a girl basically probably 30 years my junior was being very flirtatious just now.
Oh, even better there, Mike. Yeah, cold beer, but, you know, flirty women.
She's a knockout. I mean, she's a beautiful girl. How old are you? 22.
I heard that.
Oh, my God. Wow. Man. Yes. I got sport coats and bottles of wine in my house older than you. Hey, man, on that note, Oren, I will stop talking because, you know, my wife is always watching, listening, judging.
Well, you know, speaking of that's a very interesting segue, Mike, about the age thing just now, because I want to introduce you guys to the curious case of one Kyle Filipowski. 7-footer out of Duke, was invited to the green room of the NBA draft. Usually if you're in the green room, they expect you to be selected probably at the very least in the first round. Maybe, you know, at best case, say top 20, 25 picks or something like that.
Right.
Kyle was not selected in the first round of the NBA draft. Ended up going as the first pick in the second round of the NBA draft. Folks are like, this guy is a 7-foot tall, big man. He can shoot.
He can flop like the best of them.
I mean, there are qualities that Kyle Filipowski has that would translate well to today's NBA game. Why did Kyle Filipowski drop? And then we started to see some tweets. And then we started to hear some rumors. So first of all, I'm going to play some audio for me from Jonathan Givony. Jonathan Givony has some insight about the pre-draft process and what happened with Kyle Filipowski and why he dropped.
NBA teams are talking about the fact that they had question marks about his girlfriend being so much older than him. Why was he estranged from his family because of this whole situation? He apparently doesn't talk to his parents or his brother. And it's a very, very odd situation. I personally don't understand why it would cause him to drop like this into the second round. There are no question marks about his character, but NBA teams are talking about his nerves and his workouts weren't great, and when they asked him about the situation in interviews, the answers they got weren't satisfactory for them. So this Kyle Filipowski situation is bizarre. I think he's going to be one of the first players to hear his name called tonight regardless.
He did.
So basically, he's another Duke creep.
Oh, it gets even more interesting, Mike. The girlfriend of Kyle Filipowski, 28 years old, Kyle being 20, they
What's
went to
that?
His high school senior prom together. Him being 24.
Creepy. Whoa.
Yeah. Time out.
She's how old?
She's 28.
And he's how old?
20.
So she's 8 years older than him, and she went to his...
Took him to his
senior
prom.
So she went to the senior prom, and she was like, what, 25, 26?
Yeah. And he was 17, 18?
Yeah. Oh, that's creepy. That's hella creepy. It gets even more interesting. Apparently, she was his babysitter.
Oh.
Babysat him as a young age. You delve even more. There were some tweets that came out. Now, like Carl likes to say, I don't start rumors.
I just talk about them when they're out there.
Tweets started to kind of just prop up from supposed family members of Kyle Filipowski. Apparently, this young woman has brainwashed him into abandoning his family. Quote, he sent them an email telling his family he wanted nothing else to do with them. So they're concerned about him and the brainwashing that this supposedly may have happened. So Kyle Filipowski dropped, and all of this information has come out now about he's got an older girlfriend who he could not talk about during the pre-draft process, got a little bit clammy, a little bit nervous when she was brought up. The information about her going to his prom, the age difference. Oh, and to top it all off, she is a Mormon. Do you know what team just drafted Kyle Filipowski? The Utah Jazz.
Utah Jazz. Does she have the magic underpants, too?
I have no idea, but there you go, Mike. So the curious case of Kyle Filipowski, the one NBA draft prospect.
No, just to walk it back. So he's in the green room, expected to go. And
first
I remember, because I watched the whole thing. If you guys remember, the 21st pick, New Orleans wanted a big man. They go with Eve Missy from Cameroon. Mm. And it was a great story. He's another one of these kids you want to pull for. His family was actually sitting in like the regular stands, had to come down that little extra gangplank, that extra stairway, to get into like the backstage area. But he thought, you know, maybe his agent said, you have a chance to go. He went. So the kid from Cameroon, as a great story goes, and the creepy, wackadoodle, weird story of Filipowski, he winds up in the second round. So interesting.
Let me posit this theory, and it's not a good one, but to me it makes sense.
All right.
She's the babysitter when he's however old. He's already a basketball phenom at that point, even if he's 11.
So she's putting the hooks into him at the early age?
So she realizes that could be a meal ticket for the rest of her life and shows this kid something he's never experienced
I guess.
Before.
Now, I mean... I always wanted to make out with my babysitter, but I was 10. That was Camille LaMagna. Beautiful. Oh, my God. Looked like Marissa Tomei.
Oh.
Just beautiful in our neighborhood. Yeah. But I was, again, she was like 17 and I was 10. And I had game, but not that much game. So this one is, you know what? That's a weird, weird story. And it kind of gets back to, remember Moneyball? When they're the old school agents or the old school talent scouts are talking about the different players. They go, oh, that guy. I don't know about him. He got an ugly girlfriend. He's got no confidence.
There you go, yeah.
But this is a whole other category. So do we think? So he's basically been stooping the babysitter since he was like Young, a teenager.
Apparently so. The mother seems to think that this was all kind of orchestrated by the girlfriend to get the diamond ring and to end up with the guy. But, yeah, cut off from the
And the teams around the league were aware of it.
The teams in the league, yeah, Jonathan Givony.
Wow.
It was big enough to where they actually reported this during the draft, like on the NBA Today before the second round of the NBA draft. So, normally, like, they won't go live with that stuff unless they've got some backing. But to hear it,
Didn't Jay Billis, I think it was the Miami was looking for a center, and they went with the kid from Indiana, Ware. Mm-hmm. And I think and they mentioned Filipowski would probably be a good fit. And I know I specifically remember him saying that about New Orleans. Wow, that's wacky.
So there you go, yeah.
I mean, that's one that did it actually get to the point where teams thought it was so creepy they gave him the Heisman.
Yeah. But just to send the pre-draft process and to ask him a question about that. And for him to get nervous and clam up and about the answer, like that's also odd. Like, hey,
weird.
You know,
strange.
We hear you have a girlfriend who might be a little bit older. Can you tell us about that? Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I'm thinking is that if she dictates the terms, maybe she gave him a very specific set of instructions on, you know, don't blow this for us.
How much older is Kurt Warner's wife?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Now, granted, when you're bagging groceries, you know, in Iowa, playing Arena 2, you don't really have a lot of options. Ruth Pussy's probably the hottest thing you're going to find. But still, I think at some point you might. Although he's got strong value, so he stays.
So she's 4 years older than him. She's 57. He's 53.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Well, this what makes this so much worse is the age gap when they first met.
Yeah, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I mean, if you can shoot your shot with your babysitter, I mean, God, mazel tov. That work. But, I mean, I think at some point it's kind of stunting your development if you're still dating her, you know, 5 years, 6 years later.
The internet sleuths they got on this one early, they found pictures of him and her together with cousins back in the day. They have the prom photo. Like, they unearthed a whole bunch of stuff, too.
Wow. Oren, that's the thing. When you've got somebody 7 years or 8 years your senior going to the – see, if a guy does that, they put you in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, the sheriff's department will be waiting outside the door. Right? Yeah, I'm just like, also now you're all right.
Yeah, that exact line, Mike Bell, yes.
They get younger and I stay. Now I get older, they stay the same age.
They stay the same age.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Yes, they do.
All right, we'll do one more here real quick. Also on the draft. We've mentioned about Bronny being taken by the Lakers and just the kind of implications and the underlying stories about that. Adrian Wojnarowski last night on the ESPN draft show kind of took the opposite approach to the Lakers and drafting Bronny, and this is what he had to say about that.
I don't want to hear these charges, people talking about nepotism.
No,
NBA is full of nepotism.
Full of it.
The ownership level, front offices,
absolutely.
Coaching.
Yep.
I don't want to hear it all of a sudden because of Bronny James' father plays for the Lakers. Right. It is rampant in this league.
That is a
go ahead.
No, it is. I mean, we've seen it around the league. I've got a buddy, Scotty Adubato. His dad, Richie, coached in a league. I mean, guys go with guys they know, and kids get advanced. Rick Pitino's kid certainly has outkicked his coverage and his jobs he's acquired in his career. So that's part of it. It just seems like the idea that the agent says, don't touch Bronny, he'll go to Australia, and then it just falls right to the Lakers. The funnier thing is how everybody worked together on this one. That's what I think some people, Chris, we talked about, Oren. At one point, he wasn't even the top 100 prospects. And then ESPN comes out with an updated one, and all of a sudden he's 54 in the Lakers.
Which is exactly where he went, too. That's the funniest part.
I mean, did Brian Windhorst write that? I mean, it's just – look, we wish the kid well because he had – I mean, the kid was technically dead on the floor at USC, and you want to see a great story evolve, and hopefully he gets a chance. But as I said earlier, I'm not being mean-spirited. He wouldn't have started for any of the teams in the Final Four this year. You know, that's not hating. That's facting. Great job, Oren. Great stuff, man.
On that note, here we go.
That's our main. Oren, come back, man. Next hour, we'll talk more about the Bravos. Philly's got some injuries. We just talked about it. Schwarber and now Bryce Harper going to be out for at least 10 days. Hoping the Braves can make some hay. We got to get some dudes, though. We'll give some names at you. If you missed the steakhouse today, David O'Brien was on. He threw out some of the names we'd already mentioned a few weeks ago. Still early for a trade, but what makes sense? That's on the way, plus Steve Koonin to tell us what the Hawks' next move is. Live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead, it's Chris in for Carl and Dukes and Bell. Always love when the server asks, do you want that as a single or a double? I think you know the answer to that question. It is Dukes and Bell live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Carl on vacay. Chris Thomas is filling in. We're going to talk to Oren with Yeah Man No Man in just a sec. This hour of the program brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Phillies have been red hot, hottest team in baseball. But Chris, a little kink in the chain, I guess. Well, tell me about these injuries.
Yeah, a couple of big boppers going on the 10-day IL. Kyle Schwarber, who replace Marcell Ozuna as number two on the DH for the
All-Star voting. Yeah, well, he's been killing it. He's been doing what he does. A lot of leadoff home runs, but Schwarber's banged up and Bryce Harper.
And Bryce Harper with a hammy. He had to exit last night's game. So apparently both of the injuries not considered long-term, but at least for the next handful of games, Braves need to take advantage.
I know a hammy, though. So there's different grades, of course. Michael Harris had one of the more serious grades, but sometimes they can turn into more than 10 days. So Maybe a chance for the Braves, who are eight games back, to make some hay. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk with Danny Vietti. Oh! From CBS Sports MLB. Grant later on the Braves. And just a weird game in Chicago, where Chris Sale gets 11 strikeouts, but they come up with nothing against the worst team in MLB. Right now, let's get the best in the business. Big O with some Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
New. Chris is co-hosting today, wearing a Dale Murphy throwback today.
That you so preciously purchased for me.
Thank you. Well, no, we're at Murphy's. I've got one of those, too. That's one of my favorite Braves uniforms. Great stuff. Along with the Hank Aaron 74. Right now, though, Big O back at the ranch. He's in charge of Yeah Man, No Man. What you got?
Just sitting here a little bit jealous, guys, of all the cold beer and nice, greasy fried food you guys are eating right now.
And not yes. to, you know, sound like Bill Belichick. So, you want to go on a date? But no, a girl basically probably 30 years my junior was being very flirtatious just now.
Oh, even better there, Mike. Yeah, cold beer, flirty women.
No, she's a knockout. I mean, she's a beautiful girl. How old are you? 22.
I heard that.
Oh, my God. Wow. Man, yes. I got sport coats and bottles of wine in my house older than you. Hey, man, on that note, Oren, I will stop talking because, you know, my wife is always watching, listening, judging.
Well, you know, speaking of, that's a very interesting segue, Mike, about the age thing just now, because I want to introduce you guys to the curious case of one Kyle Filipowski, 7-footer out of Duke, was invited to the green room of the NBA draft. Usually if you're in the green room, they expect you to be selected probably at the very least in the first round, maybe, you know, at best case, say top 20, 25 picks or something like that.
Right.
Kyle was not selected in the first round of the NBA draft. Oh. Ended up going as the first pick in the second round of the NBA draft. Folks are like, this guy's a 7 foot tall big man. He can shoot.
He can flop like the best of them.
I mean, there are qualities that Kyle Filipowski has that would translate well to today's NBA game. Why did Kyle Filipowski drop? And then we started to see some tweets. Huh? And then we started to hear some rumors. So first of all, I'm going to play some audio for me from Jonathan Givony. I think Givony has some insight about the pre-draft process and what happened with Kyle Filipowski and why he dropped.
NBA teams are talking about the fact that they had question marks about his girlfriend being so much older than him. And why was he estranged from his family because of this whole situation? He apparently doesn't talk to his parents or his brother. And it's a very, very odd situation. I personally don't understand why it would cause him to drop like this into the second round. There are no question marks about his character, but NBA teams are talking about his nerves and his workouts weren't great, and when they asked him about the situation in interviews, the answers they got weren't satisfactory for them. So this Kyle Filipowski situation is bizarre. I think he's going to be one of the first players to hear his name called tonight regardless.
He did.
So basically, he's another Duke creep.
Oh, it gets even more interesting, Mike. The girlfriend of Kyle Filipowski, 28 years old, Kyle being 20, they
What's
went to
that?
His high school senior prom together. Him being 24.
Creepy. Whoa.
Yeah.
Time out. She's how old?
She's 28.
And he's how old?
20.
So she's 8 years older than him, and she went to his...
Took him to his
senior
prom.
So she went to the senior prom, and she was like, what, 25, 26?
Yeah. And he was 17, 18?
Yeah. Oh, that's creepy. That's hella creepy.
It gets even more interesting. Apparently, she was his babysitter.
Oh.
Babysat him as a young age. You wow. delve even more. There were some tweets that came out. Now, like Carl likes to say, I don't start rumors.
I just talk about them when they're out there.
Tweets started to kind of just prop up from supposed family members of Kyle Filipowski. Apparently, this young woman has brainwashed him into abandoning his family. Quote, he sent them an email telling his family he wanted nothing else to do with them. So they're concerned about him and the brainwashing that this supposedly may have happened. So Kyle Filipowski dropped, and all of this information has come out now about he's got an older girlfriend who he could not talk about during the pre-draft process, got a little bit clammy, a little bit nervous when she was brought up. The information about her going to his prom, the age difference. Oh, wow. And to top it all off, she is a Mormon. Do you know what team just drafted Kyle Filipowski? The Utah Jazz.
Utah Jazz. Does she have the magic underpants, too?
I have no idea, but there you go, Mike. So the curious case of Kyle Filipowski, the one NBA draft prospect.
No, just to walk it back. So he's in the green room, expected to go. And
first
I remember,
because
I watched the whole thing. If you guys remember, the 21st pick, New Orleans wanted a big man. They go with Eve Missy from Cameroon. Mm. And it was a great story. He's another one of these kids you want to pull for. His family was actually sitting in like the regular stands, had to come down that little extra gangplank, that extra stairway, to get into like the backstage area. But he thought, you know, maybe his agent said, you have a chance to go. He went. So the kid from Cameroon, as a great story goes, and the creepy wackadoodle weird story of Filipowski, he winds up in the second round. Interesting.
Let me posit this theory, and it's not a good one, but to me it makes sense.
All right.
She's the babysitter when he's he's already a basketball phenom at that point, even if he's 11.
So she's putting the hooks into him at the early age?
So she realizes that could be a meal ticket for the rest of her life and shows this kid something he's never experienced.
I guess. Now, I mean... I always wanted to make out with my babysitter, but I was 10. That was Camille LaMagna. Beautiful. Oh, my God. Looked like Marissa Tomei.
Oh.
Just beautiful in our neighborhood. Yeah. But I was, again, she was like 17 and I was 10. And I had game, but not that much game. So this one is, you know what? That's a weird, weird story. And it kind of gets back to, remember Moneyball? When they're the old school agents or the old school talent scouts are talking about the different players. And they go, oh, that guy. I don't know about him. He got an ugly girlfriend. He's got no confidence.
There you go, yeah.
But this is a whole other category. So do we think? So he's basically been stooping the babysitter since he was like
young,
a teenager.
Apparently so. The mother seems to think that this was all kind of orchestrated by the girlfriend to get the diamond ring and to end up with the guy. But yeah, cut off from the family.
And the teams around the league were aware of it.
The teams in the league. Yeah, Jonathan Givony.
Wow.
It was big enough to where they actually reported this during the draft, like on the NBA Today before the second round of the NBA draft. So normally, like, they won't go live with that stuff unless they've got some backing. But to hear it,
Didn't Jay Billis, I think it was Miami was looking for a center, and they went with the kid from Indiana, Ware. Mm-hmm. And I think and they mentioned Filipowski would probably be a good fit. And I know I specifically remember him saying that about New Orleans. Wow, that's wacky. That's one that did it actually get to the point where teams thought it was so creepy they gave him the Heisman.
Yeah. But just to send the pre-draft process and to ask him a question about that. And for him to get nervous and clam up and about the answer, like that's also odd. Like, hey,
weird.
You know, we hear you have a girlfriend who might be a little bit older. Can you tell us about that?
The only thing I'm thinking is that if she dictates the terms, maybe she gave him a very specific set of instructions on, you know, don't blow this for us.
How much older is Kurt Warner's wife?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Now, granted, when you're bagging groceries, you know, in Iowa, playing Arena 2, you don't really have a lot of options. Ruth Buzzi's probably the hottest thing you're going to find. But still, I think at some point you might. Although he's got strong value, so he stays.
So she's 4 years older than him. She's 57. He's 53.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Well, this what makes this so much worse is the age gap when they first met.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, if you can shoot your shot with your babysitter, I mean, God, mazel tov. That work. But, I mean, I think at some point it's kind of stunting your development if you're still dating her, you know, 5 years, 6 years later.
The internet sleuths they got on this one early, they found pictures of him and her together with cousins back in the day. They have the prom photo. Like, they unearthed a whole bunch of stuff, too.
Wow. Oren, that's the thing. When you've got somebody 7 years or 8 years your senior going to the – see, if a guy does that, they put you in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, the sheriff's department will be waiting outside the door. Right? I'm just like, also now you All right.
Yeah, they get
that line, that exact line, Mike Bell, yes.
They get younger and I stay. Now I get older, they stay the same age. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
All right, we'll do one more here real quick. Also on the draft. We've mentioned about Bronny being taken by the Lakers and just the kind of implications and the underlying stories about that. Adrian Wojnarowski last night on the ESPN draft show kind of took the opposite approach to the Lakers and drafting Bronny, and this is what he had to say about that.
I don't want to hear these charges, people talking about nepotism.
No,
NBA is full of nepotism.
Full of it.
The ownership level, front offices,
absolutely.
Coaching.
Yep.
I don't want to hear it all of a sudden because of Bronny James' father plays for the Lakers. Right. It is rampant in this league.
That is a
It is. I mean, we've seen it around the league. I've got a buddy, Scotty Adubato. His dad, Richie, coached in the league. I mean, guys go with guys they know, and kids get advanced. And Rick Pitino's kid certainly has outkicked his coverage and his jobs he's acquired in his career. So that's part of it. It just seems like the idea that the agent says, don't touch Bronny, he'll go to Australia, and then it just falls right to the Lakers. The funnier thing is how everybody worked together on this one. That's what I think some people, Chris, we talked about, Oren. At one point, he wasn't even the top 100 prospects. And then ESPN comes out with an updated one, and all of a sudden he's 54 in the Lakers.
Which is exactly where he went, too. That's the funny part.
I mean, did Brian Windhorst write that? I mean, it's just – look, we wish the kid well because he had a – I mean, the kid was technically dead on the floor at USC, and you want to see a great story evolve, and hopefully he gets a chance. But as I said earlier, I'm not being mean-spirited. He wouldn't have started for any of the teams in the Final Four this year. You know, that's not hating. That's facting. Great job, Oren. Great stuff, man.
On that note, here we go.
That's our main. Oren, come back, man. Next hour, we'll talk more about the Bravos. Philly's got some injuries. We just talked about it. Schwarber and now Bryce Harper are going to be out for at least 10 days. Hoping the Braves can make some hay. We got to get some dudes, though. We'll give some names at you. If you missed the steakhouse today, David O'Brien was on. He threw out some of the names we'd already mentioned a few weeks ago. Still early for a trade, but what makes sense? That's on the way, plus Steve Koonin to tell us what the Hawks' next move is. Live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead, it's Chris in for Carl on Dukes and Bell.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!